Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. You're welcome again to the Game on Sunday podcast. Michael Lester here with you. And I'm joined on this particular occasion again by Tomás Mulcahy and Martin Carney to talk, of course, of hurling and football. Before we look forward, lads, let's kind of look back briefly, Martin, to last weekend and what happened in football. A couple of interesting games, to say the least of it. Just going through them, but I suppose the one that you and me were more interested in was the Mayo Galway clash. Yeah. And a good win for Mayo down in Salt Hill.
That is a very good win, an unexpected win in many respects. I mean, there was quite a number of naysayers here. Didn't really anticipate much from Mayo on Sunday. And like when they saw, for example, the game a couple of weeks ago, I know it was with an experimental team, you know, playing against London and losing to London, the FBD, that increased their despondency, so to speak. But the Mayo we saw on Sunday, they were bright. They played with a great sense of purpose. And I thought they varied their game very well, Michael, much better than they had done maybe last year. They moved the ball forward very, very quickly. And there was a great emphasis on playing Galway in the final third of the field. Like Mayo, I thought last year were maybe ultra defensive, possibly played too much of the game around the middle. But what I loved about them last weekend was their energy, the way they employed, as I said, the high press, and they were able to sustain that intensity for the game. And I suppose maybe, you know, some of the younger, they had one debutant, a lad called Connor Reid, wing forward, who did his part. But I thought the threesome of Jack Carney, Bob Toohey, and Jordan Flynn were particularly effective around the middle of the park. And along with Fergal Boland, who incidentally cut short his proposed trip to Australia. He was outstanding, actually, in a recall capacity. And so from a Mayo point of view, they thrived and they were delighted with the win, certainly. But, Michael, you know, and I know, Galway, whatever happened on Sunday, they showed little or no appetite for it. Their fitness levels looked way behind Mayo. You know, with Shane Walsh, I suppose, neutered, so to speak, by Sam Callanan. They had no other option up front to actually cause Mayo any trouble. I know it's early days, but for a derby match, I expected a lot more appetite from Galway than what we got.
Yeah, I was reading something else, Martin, the last couple of days by, I think it was Enda McNulty, saying that the ideal place to finish in the league would be in third place. And he was making the point about the fact that, and this happened last year, you go from a league final, let's say, if you get into a league final or the latter stages of the league, and out in the championship, perhaps again the next weekend, you know, so that's a bit of an issue.
Well, that's an issue certainly in Connacht this year. I know that if, for example, Mayo were to reach a league final, and the evidence of last Sunday, they certainly seemed to be in good shape to actually have a good run of the league. But if they were to reach a league final, it would mean that the following weekend, they travel to New York to play New York in the championship. Mm-hmm. And the practicalities of that, I suppose, is that they'd have to travel on a Thursday. And from a work point of view, players getting time off work and all of that kind of thing, you know, it creates its own difficulties and its own maybe, you know, for players in particular. But ideally, finishing second or third in the league, that would be the priority. I was just looking before we came on air, Michael, league position this year is going to be, particularly in Division 2, say, very important, because in the way that the championship is structured, you have the top seed teams are the winners, the top seed teams are the winners of the provincial championship. The second seed teams are the runners up in the provincial championship. Now, one of those this year will be either Clare, Waterford, or Tipperary. And it'll mean that the bottom two teams in Division 2 could well end up playing Tailteann Cup. And to me, that particular division is a highly, highly competitive one. And it's a division you don't want to be in. So Enda McNulty is perfectly right. Get up, get middle of the table in Division 1. You'll have your rest before the championship and you'll have retained your prime status for the following year as well.
Martin, we'll come back to some of the fixtures upcoming in the league in a moment, but let's bring in Tomás Mulcahy, because of course Tomás, the hurling is really kick-starting, if you like, and
it sure is, Michael. Yeah. I was getting worried there with Martin saying about travelling to New York on a Thursday. I don't know, so you kind of afraid of me, I might lose to New York, or we might go to that one, Martin. We go on Thursday and we might come home on the bottom Thursday though. Yeah
Tomás, let's look at some of the games that are coming up in the hurling. And again, we repeat ourselves and say it's early days and that, but there are a couple of interesting fixtures. And a couple of, if you like, I won't say local, but Clare against your own county, down in Ennis, Kilkenny and Wexford, which is always going to be interesting, you know. And it'll be a interesting start off, let's say.
Yeah, and look, I suppose, Michael, yeah, you're right, and Martin has made a point as well. Look, who really wants to win a national hurling league in terms of their performance coming towards championship then? Because, look, it's we've discussed this, Michael, so many times in the past, the compactness of the season in terms of the leagues that are going to come and the matches are going to come very quickly, and then you're into a championship period and you pick up injuries, you've less time to actually recover. So who actually wants to put their hands up there and say, we'd love to get to a league final and win it? I think, you know, from a Limerick perspective, there's only one thing on their mind, I would think, and that's the drive for five, to be honest with you, and Munster Championship campaign. Doing better than what they did last year, making it easier for themselves to come out of there. And, you know, Kilkenny will always be competitive in the league. They never shirk from that responsibility of saying, yeah, we don't mind going to a league final and we don't mind playing a championship match after that. And look, outside of that, maybe I would be probably looking at Waterford and Davy Fitz. Maybe they need to come to the table much earlier than they did last year in terms of performance and stuff like that as well. They had a disappointing championship campaign, and they would feel maybe we need a good serious run in the league, as well as Liam Cal in Tipperary as well, I think would be with something similar as well, bringing in a lot of fresh blood, and they would not need to come to the table much earlier as well. Dublin, under Mihal Donoghue, probably would look at this as well. As I said, the first match against Tipperary in Parnell Park, never an easy place to go, and certainly not an easy place to go in the start of February for a national league campaign. So the Dubs might be looking at that one and say, this is the one that we can get our first league win for of the year underway, and we'll probably be taking it very, very serious.
I was just saying that John Kiley in Limerick was kind of expressing a degree of frustration that Limerick haven't had the build up that they were hoping to have going into the campaign, and for various reasons, and one of them, of course, was a match cancelled and so on, and deferred and blah blah blah, and all that. So clearly, like, John is early days focused on getting everything right with Limerick, you know, and just feeling they're playing Antrim at the weekend. And this game is in Thurles because of the redevelopment, obviously, down in Limerick.
Yeah, in the Gael grounds, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Michael, again, look, Limerick will take the lead relatively serious to a point because I think they will be looking at to unearth a few new players to give new guys an opportunity. And more importantly, for those guys to put pressure on the guys that feel they have an automatic right to a starting 15 slot, because there's nothing like younger guys putting pressure on the older guys to perform, because like this is an unbelievable opportunity for Limerick in terms of the strive for five. Who would have believed that many years ago that this was going to be happening, that they were going to put themselves in this position? And then look at it, get out of Munster Camp Campbell, get into Croke Park, and we can create history. So everything is going to be geared towards that. But I think John Kiely certainly would have loved to see maybe one or two more matches prior to the league, letting in a few new guys putting up their hand to say, I deserve a starting slot in the league campaign, and loading a couple of new guys. And I think that's the important thing for Limerick. Munster Senior League, like, I was delighted when I heard it was postponed, Michael, 2 weeks ago, to be honest with you, because like the conditions that people were playing matches on was quite appalling, and particularly for hurling. But what has happened here, though, and Martin, you probably can allude to this as well, in terms of the inter-county team starting much earlier in a season, pre-Christmas, because you have a strength and conditioning campaign. You need to go from a strength and conditioning campaign onto a field environment in terms of getting running on the field and the pitch, in terms of getting the legs moving, because you can't go from strength and conditioning straight in and play a league match and then you pick up injuries and less time to recover. So it's long. It's making the inter-county season even longer for guys, but it's the compactness of this, Mike and Martin, and you probably know the same in the football side of it.
Well, I've seen it up close, actually, because I know there was a young lad played for a club football for us this year in Castlebar, Donoch McHugh, who was on the county panel. Now, he had hamstring injury last year, but I remember through a lot of the autumn, in the month of October, he was training away on his own. And the county team actually, Mayo, and I know definitely Donegal, did intense training in that period. They're starting earlier and earlier all the time. And as you said to us, between combining the strength and conditioning, you know, getting through that, getting up to the levels that are needed, and then getting out onto the pitch before you ever kick a football, that's just kind of increasing the length of the season. And for players like, you know, I even know, like, for example, I was involved with a club at under 21 level. Some of the lads that were available to us that may have been county panelists, rather, they were reluctant enough to play because of the intensity of the work they were already doing with the county. And that's just not peculiar to Mayo. It's across the board in all counties. And it's, you know, this thing of having just equal county and equal club, that's grand on paper. But in practical terms, county players, what's been looked from them, is becoming more and more onerous, and it's becoming a problem in many ways. And it's numbing the appetite for many in terms of kind of encouraging to stay with the game.
Maybe what they should do, Martin and Tomás, is take a leaf out of professional soccer, like Marcus Rashford.
Go off to
a nightclub in Belfast and then fail to show up to training the next day.
What about the bottles of tequila, allegedly?
Yeah, have a couple of shots of tequila there on a Wednesday and a Thursday night. Do you know how I'm going into a National League campaign, Michael?
That's right. So, and hire your private jet, tonight. Michael.
Do no harm.
No.
Anyway, look, that's their problem. That's their
no. It's interesting on that, though, Michael. Right? I mean, because I was watching Derry and Kerry in Tralee last Saturday night on TV, and I see the like from the Glen Boys there and stuff like that. I mean, that's incredible commitment, isn't it? In terms of where they've gone from a club campaign to go
off. That's right. Is that a
good thing or a bad thing, Martin? Or is that the players and the choice themselves?
Well, I think there was a big
county.
I think long term it wasn't a wise decision. Short term, I can understand why Mickey Hart did what he did. Like, I mean, getting Conor Glass in particular to play.
Yeah.
Like, he ended up playing Kerry the other night, I think, with 14 of the 15 players that played in the All-Ireland semi-final against Kerry last year. And Mickey Hart wanted to make a statement. He took a big gamble there, actually. He wanted to make a statement and beat Kerry and show Kerry that they had no fear of them or anything like that. But the amazing thing about it is this, that Kerry fielded a team that was a shadow of what they'll have early, later on in the season. And on the night, Tomás, I think you'd agree with me from watching it, they had enough chances in the second half to win the game, by a wide margin, but kind of certainly butchered three chances at least. But Mickey Hart, I think, put a bit pressure on the Glen lads to come out because he wanted to show his full hand, show his intent, show Derry people that he was up for this and prepare to actually, go with a full squad, in order to kind of win over in Kerry. But the fun will start on Saturday night or next weekend when they play in Celtic Park against Tyrone. That'll be worth being at now, Tomás.
Yeah,
there's no question about that.
Do you think, Martin, as you essentially said, it was a psychological thing for Mickey Hart to go down to Kerry?
And beat them
down there.
It was, and to get under Jack O'Connor's skin in a footballing sense. Jack O'Connor has always kind of, I think, felt a bit uncomfortable with Mickey Hart, but Mickey Hart's positivity, like in a footballing context, his kind of the lack of fear, his fearlessness in facing the likes of the establishment, in facing the establishment, in particular, in Kerry's case. And I think it was a big psychological gamble by him. It's one that worked for him. And I suppose it has got him sufficient points to actually just kind of give him a good start to the league. But his entire focus will be on Championship. I think don't they play Donegal in the first round of the Championship later on?
Mm-hmm.
That's where his focus will be. In the immediate sense, it will be just to get enough points over the next few weeks to retain their status, because they have come up, I think, for the first time since 2016. He won't want to actually slip back down again.
Yeah, but Michael, my point on this, right, and we had many conversations on this, right, then. It was a big thing coming out from Croke Park in terms of player welfare, right? And the rest and recovery that you need after games and stuff like that. I mean, these players have been gone, like, they will likely now go a full 12 months without any break.
That's right.
Because of the nature where the competition is and the compactness, right? I mean, for amateur sportsmen,
yeah,
that's no. And I know the desire and the hunger is probably there from the players as well to travel, and they wanted to go as well themselves, right? You know, but isn't that asking an awful lot of amateur players?
It is. And the other thing I just add to that, Tomás, again, it's in the Galway Mayo context last weekend. I know last Wednesday I watched it on television. I watched NUIG or UCG, as we used to call it, play St. Mary's and the Sigerson. And Ryan O'Donoghue and Tommy Conroy were playing. They're playing the quarterfinal against UCD on Wednesday night, two nights' time. But I was amazed last Sunday, in some respects, that Kevin McSay started the pair of them in the game against Galway. And you could see with them that they were holding back somewhat. They weren't kind of as free-flowing as a lot of the others. Maybe saving themselves for Sigerson, maybe just, hoping to get through the games unscathed. But there's no doubt about it. What's being asked of players at the moment, in particular those guys who are in college and who are on inter-county panels, it's considerable. And as you said, for the inter-county guys who train maybe two or three days a week, but are expected then to do their own work with strength and conditioning and whatever, they're nearly asked to give 6 or 7 days of the week to the game. And to me, it's too much.
I'm always fascinated by if we look across the other side of the Atlantic to the United States, and the situation there, the American football season, which is actually a very short season because it begins in the autumn and it's going to end in the next week or two. And then you have the basketball season and then you have the baseball season. But they seem to be kind of nicely sectioned out, if you like, you know, and they don't, in other words, American football, okay, I know there's colleges football and other stuff like that, but it seems to be a bit more reasonable.
Regulated.
Regulated, exactly,
Regulated and reasonable. But I think the layer, when you have the layer of club football kind of added in to what county players are doing, you take, for example, the Clifford brothers who went to and won an All-Ireland with Fossa. Now, Jack O'Connor last weekend decided these guys have had enough. They had their own personal tragedy with their mother's death last year. And he rested them up last weekend. But there's an awful lot of players. I know in Mayo's case, Jack Carney had the same situation where he won an All-Ireland club with Kilmina, I think, at junior level. And he was going for the guts of 2 years. And he was just playing for memory last year. Now, last weekend, I thought he showed a freshness that Mayo fans hadn't seen in a while. But that's the reason, I think, why Jack O'Connor probably last weekend just said to the Clippers, stay away from this. Maybe we'll bring you in round three or four.
Yeah. Martin, let's look to the next round of the league. Some more big games coming up. And Mayo and Dublin, of course, down in Castlebar, that'll be a tasty one.
It'll be a tasty one, Michael. One of the girls I always have an early morning walk, and one of the girls in a shop here in town close to McHale Park asked me this morning what crowd is to be expected, because she has to kind of get staff for the weekend. Well, I was saying you'll have between 10 and 15,000 here on Saturday night. It'll be a huge crowd of this because it's bank holiday weekend. And, you know, the game with Dublin always brings out the best, I think, in both teams. And Dublin last weekend, I can't recall the last time they conceded three goals in a match. Or somebody said to me it was against Monaghan as well. But they will be keen to get back in winning ways. Like, they looked very porous last weekend. And it was the most accommodating defence I have seen a Dublin team put out in quite a while. But, you know, Mayo will be keen and anxious to build on their success in Pierce Stadium. But you will have a cracker. And, you know, you had the likes of, I thought Kieran Kilkenny was wonderful at midfield the other night with Dublin. James McCarthy was brought back in. But one of the things that surprised me a little bit about Dublin is that they didn't use too many new faces, Michael. They had a lad, Luke Brannock, I think, came on at wing forward and did quite well. A lad came off the bench called Theo Clancy. But it seems that Desi is going with the same kind of guys, with the core of the guys that won the All-Ireland last year. But just in the short term for next Saturday night, this will be a great, great game in Castlebar. And there will be a wonderful, a really rapturous atmosphere there. And something I'm really looking forward to.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And moving on to Sunday, Martin, there's there's a couple of big games, obviously, but one of them that catches the eye is Monaghan and Kerry in Clonus. And that's significant given the results of last weekend.
Oh, very much so. Like, I mean, Kerry Kerry, it'll be interesting to see what Kerry will bring to the table this weekend. Like, they'd only half of their regulars out the other day against Derry. But Monaghan, they're incredible. They continue to confound us. Like, I mean, they had no, Conor McManus, no Darren Hughes the last night. You know, their outstanding player, I think fullback, Connor McCarthy, was injured. But yet they were able to bring in six or seven new guys. In fact, there was eight lads playing in Croke Park for the first time. And what I loved about the way they played with remarkable sense of joy and fearlessness. And, you know, the goal, for example, the way Kieran McNulty and Davidwin came on, scored a goal in the point. Stephen O'Hanlon's directness throughout was so refreshing. And Vinnie Corey, from a small squad, has managed, and Monaghan managers indeed in my lifetime always have managed to bring the best out and get the most from what's available to them. And they will, you know, again, as we said earlier, if you can get three or four wins, that'll keep you in the top division, so to speak. If Monaghan can build on that, get their win, and it'll certainly be something that'll please them. But Jack O'Connor, equally, he won't want to start the league going losing twice in a row. So this will have its own spice, and again, should be a top class game.
It certainly should. Another one on Sunday that also catches the eye is Roscommon against Galway down in the Hyde Park in Roscommon, of course. And another interesting one for many, I suppose, Mark, of the same reasons that we just said about the previous match.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I mean, I was talking this morning, actually, on another matter completely, to John Casey, who was at the Roscommon game at the weekend against Tyrone. And you know, he was very impressed with Roscommon in their first half display, like playing into the wind. Got a smashing goal, if I can recall watching it the other night, from Dolly Smith. And having played against that strong wind, I think they went in at half time just a point down. But for whatever reason, Michael, in the second half, they only managed 2 points, I think, in the first half hour of the second half, from Dermot Morta and Keith Doyle. And they'll want to reverse that result, obviously, this weekend. And they'll be looking to get back this in Bridges lads. In particular, they'll be keen to get Ben O'Connell back, or Ben O'Carroll back, rather. And with Galway smarting from the nature of the display and result last weekend, and Roscommon anxious to, you know, get back to winning ways, or get started onto a winning streak, that again is going to make for a very, very good game of football. But the team that I'll be very, very keen on watching is how well Galway will respond to what was as listless a display as I've seen from them in years last weekend.
But Martin, can I just cut across? Like, from where they were last year, Galway, do they really need to be at the top of the game in January? I don't think they need, though.
No, but there's another side of it. There's another side of it, though, Tomás. They'll clearly, you know, it's June and July will be the months they will be trying to peak in.
Yeah.
Getting to an All-Ireland semi-final, obviously, last year, they'll want to kind of improve in that. And there's no doubt about it, with Sean Kelly, Damien Comer, Killian McDaidley, and Silk Jack Lynn all injured at the moment.
All injured. A lot of injuries there, yeah.
It's a lot of injuries, and maybe we're expecting too much from them. But it's for Joyce's fifth year in charge. You know, the fans can turn very quickly on a manager, as we've seen in a lot of counties, when results don't actually kind of start going their way. And poor Joyce will be, in particular, keen to see his team perform with a degree of application and a degree of purpose that was just simply on some other planet last Sunday in a Galway context. And yes, I agree with you, Tomás, that maybe most teams want to get the June and July, you know, they want to peak at that time of the year. But nonetheless, They don't want to put themselves under pressure that they're fighting relegation in the last couple of games of the league. And they don't want to put themselves under pressure that fans turn against them. And that can happen very quickly.
But does it matter though, Martin, relegation in the league? Does it really matter, relegation in the league, if you go on, you have a serious championship campaign? And like, I'm not knocking the league, but I think for Paddy Joyce, with the injuries that he's had, pick up another one or two. I don't know, did I read somewhere yesterday or today that there's another injury after last weekend? And
yeah. As I mentioned earlier, though, this year, I think to stay in the top division means you play the top teams. To go down to the second division, you're still playing very, very good teams. For example, Donegal and Donegal, Dublin were in it last year, weren't they?
Yeah, they're Dublin were there, yeah. Yeah.
Or Donegal are in it this year, rather. Derry were in it last year. But nonetheless, when you want to compete for the Sam Maguire later on in the year, if you end up in the second division, you end up putting yourself on a precipice, in a sense that if you end up going into the bottom two of that, you lose your right to compete for Sam Maguire. And Meath, who we remember so well, has been one of the top team in the country in the 80s and in the 90s. They competed last year, and to their eternal credit, won the Tarleton Cup. But it left them, not being able to contest Sam Maguire. And that's going to happen to me this year, Tomás, to some very prominent team. And dare I say, it could well be Cork, given from what I heard, how inept they were last weekend when they played Donegal up in McCool Park.
Well, and also Meath, by the way, Tomás, they face Armagh at the weekend, and that won't be easy. And I suppose the thing about it, lads, is that you're right. In football, Division 2 is still competitive. But it's more the psychological blow of getting relegated than what it actually means in terms of competition.
Yes. And the short season that is there, and time to recover, and maybe has a big impact in confidence of the team and stuff like that as well. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I can. Look, the Kerry boys and Dublin boys, they didn't wilt when it was asked of them at times to go win National League campaigns and win All Ireland in the same year as well. So, yeah, look, I take your point. I think Martin has probably been a bit harsh in Galway in terms of, I think it was in that performance. But look, I think if you were to put a couple of guys or teams there, Martin, in terms, would Galway be up there in terms of All Ireland contenders?
I think Galway, in terms, yes, I think they will be, provided they get their injured players back. And the other side of that, then one has to ask, why are there so many injured players? What type of training are they doing?
Yeah,
I mean, I think they have 10 or, well, certainly they have 6 or 7 players, first teamers, so to speak, who are unavailable to them. And you just have to question what type of training are they doing, too heavy training or what? I'm no expert in that in that respect. But there's a question to be asked there, and I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, look,
it is a fair question, Martin. But I suppose there's other elements as well, and personalities, people, some struggle with injuries. And we saw last weekend, for example, Damien Comer, a late withdrawal from the Galway team. And unfortunately, that's not the first time with Damien and that. And some players just struggle with just injuries, as simple as that.
Yeah. And again, the nature of the injury then is the other thing, Michael. The one that makes the greatest fool of you, the greatest fool of you, is the hamstring injury. Because you'd say, when you pull a hamstring, I know from my own experience many years ago when I was playing, you think you're right, Michael, and you think everything, and Tomás, I don't know if you've ever had it, but
no,
all of a sudden...
We used to eat those a long time ago, Martin, down here.
When I remember, Tomás, you would think you were 100% okay, and next thing, snap, it went again. And, that's one injury. I think there's a curse The other injury, obviously, that you're more conscious of and that you know that nobbled you is your knee, the knee injury. And I think just when you see, like I saw, for example, you know, the knee, the ankle, the Achilles tendon, like, for example, that the highest scorer in championship football ever is Killian O'Connor. And Killian O'Connor would have missed all of the, I think it was the year before, with the Achilles tendon injury. So the nature of the injury, the timing of the injury, and the type of injury you get kind of can obviously curtail your season. And it's something, though, I think often that maybe incorrect training, maybe training on wrong surfaces and all of that can actually kind of have a contributory factor in bringing on those.
It is. It's a fascinating thing. I remember Colm O'Rourke telling me years ago, because Colm, like, for the fantastic footballer that he was, he always had this big bandage on his knee. And if you know, and I remember him a couple of years afterwards, and I said, how's the knee these days? And he said, oh, and Grandy says, as long as I walk around in circles.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the same thing going back again, for Michael, with John Mahon. I remember playing with John Mahon. John Mahon was finished with football at 27 years of age. And again, it was a case of him coming back too soon after injuries. And
yes,
remember when he managed Clare to win their provincial title, I think, was it their only provincial title in football ever,
title.
In 1992.
Yeah.
Mahon was only 29 or 30 years of age. He was only a youngster.
I know,
by that stage of his career, Michael, he was finished because of his knees, bad knees. And if you see him today, like, I see him quite often, like, he's mad in the head. Like, how'd you get on last Sunday, John? I just did about 80, 90 kilometres on the bike, like, you know, but this is his way of just keeping fit nowadays, just kind of, he's glued to the saddle every weekend.
Yeah, fair play to him, yeah. Finally, lads, and to Moss, just a quick resume, if you like, on the hurling fixtures at the weekend. What are we? Galway, by the way, are playing Westmeath in Clare Stadium. I presume they will be expecting to win that.
Yeah, you've got Galway versus Westmeath, right? Yeah, Shefflin will be looking at this. Yeah, we got to get off the ground winning here and probably winning comfortably as well, right? You know, you've Dublin versus Tipperary. I think it's a tough one to call. We're going to see what Tipperary are made of in terms of going to Parnell Park. As I mentioned previously, it's always a difficult ground to get a result in. But I'm going to go for Tipperary to win this one. You've Clare versus Cork in Ennis. People call it a tight ground. They say the pitch is bigger than any field in Munster. It's just the surroundings of the ground that everybody's not happy. Yeah, going to be big, huge support there. And again, look, it's a very, very difficult one to call. And like Martin said, Cork have picked up a few injuries there in the last couple of weeks themselves. Fitzgibbon Cup last week there. UCC versus Mary. I think within 22 minutes, three of the Cork, the college guys had actually went off with ankle injuries. One of those was kind of Cahill McCarthy, who had played very well with SARS in the Galway Championship. Played very well in the Munster Senior League match against Clare, and I think he was probably going to get his opportunity to maybe start. It seems he's gone for 6 weeks with Robert Downey, went over, did ligament damage as well, gone for 6 weeks. So it's probably Clare's to win, to be honest with you. It would be a massive achievement for Cork to go up there and win, but I think Clare will look up to win that one. Kilkenny versus Wexford, local neighbours. Yeah, it would be probably Kilkenny maybe to come out on top on that one. And then you have Offaly with Waterford. I'd just like to see where Offaly are at this year, Michael, you know. They've made a lot of strides at kind of minor under 21 level, or under 20 level year for the last 2 or 3 years. Is the crop coming through? Are they going to blend into a senior campaign? Because I think we all need Offaly to be performing at a serious level. So good opportunity for themselves against Waterford in Tullamore. Will be an interesting one, as I said. David Fitzgerald has had a couple of there's been thoughts and there's been talks that he's had them training at 2 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then
they're looking for the full moon, Tomas.
I don't know what they're looking for, anyway, but he gave him a full rest. He gave him an hour's rest, And then he took him from down to Clonay Strand from 6 o'clock on to 8. Now, I don't know.
As long as he hadn't been swimming in the nip.
Swimming in the nip and hurling in the dark, whatever it is. You know, he's denied it all, but some source to me, reliable source to me, this did actually happen. Where are we going? Right? So they need a performance in light, in a bright sunshine, hopefully in Tullamore. And then you've Limerick versus Antrim. You would expect Limerick, obviously, giving you new guys an opportunity, Limerick to come out on top of that, Michael.
Very good. And Clonay Strand, by the way, is a lovely place. So,
was it a beautiful place, Michael? I'm not so sure.
Particularly, by the way, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Not necessarily at 4 o'clock in the morning. But anyway.
Whether it's true or not.
Listen, lads, it's good to talk to you. Thank you.
It's alleged.
That's far long.
Alleged, exactly, yeah.
Alleged.
Thank you, lads, for your time. To Tomás Mulcahy, to Martin Carney. Enjoyed your company and enjoyed the chat. And we'll be back again, of course, with another edition of The Game on Sunday as we go forward through the season. We'll talk to you the next time. Thank you.
Long call.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.